Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want Dvorn, the old train, and tell them that we love them!
I've looked at clear cuts in burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to hear not one, but to who, evil women? This is Wretched Radio. The first evil woman is sung about by one Electric Light Orchestra. I saw him in 19, give or take. And it was a wee bit anticlimactic because, well, they were a little sleepy compared to Hall & Oates, who absolutely blew the doors off the place. That is one evil woman. Prepare now to hear another very evil woman from the inauguration. The National Cathedral, a female Episcopalian bishop.
First foundation for unity is honoring the inherent dignity of every human being.
Let's just stop and waft in the irony of that statement. This woman, no doubt, is radically pro-choice. She's right up there with Cecile Richards. She's right up there with Joe Biden. The inherent dignity of all human life. That makes me choke.
Which is, as all the faiths represented here affirm...
Well, she doesn't have any problem being ecumenical, does she?
The birthright of all people.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you, madam. I wonder if she's bellyaching about the legislation that didn't pass, courtesy of Chuck Schumer and 46 other Democrats. How hard is this? A piece of legislation to protect babies born alive after a botched abortion, known as the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. They voted against it, claiming it's already illegal. And to that, I would say if it's already illegal, then what's the problem? Redundancy doesn't hurt a thing. Chuck Schumer claiming it attacks women's rights. This bill is pernicious as they come. Well, except for the act of abortion itself, but I digress. As Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and other dignitaries sat in what used to be a Christian cathedral, had to endure this, I guess it was a homily from a female Episcopalian bishop.
As children of our one God.
Oh, see, that is ecumenical right there.
In public discourse... honoring each other's dignity means refusing to mock or discount.
I got to tell you, I know I'm biased. Her tone, if the dictionary had a picture for the word condescending.
Or demonize those with whom we differ. Choosing instead to respectfully debate our differences. And whenever possible, to seek common ground. Mm-hmm. And if common ground is not possible, dignity demands that we remain true to our convictions without contempt.
So can I hold on to my convictions, madam? No, of course I can't, because this is the demonic semantic game that gets played all the time. You see, if you are opposed to something that doesn't make somebody happy, you're the evil woman, or if you still believe in two genders, an evil man, which, by the way, aren't we rejoicing at some of the pen strokes that are changing some of the nonsense in our country? I'm grateful for that. But isn't it tragic that we have to have an executive order defining two genders only? I mean, really. Furthermore, I got to tell you, all of these executive orders, I'm not a political pundit, but shouldn't this be done through legislation? But I digress. Back to the evil woman who is willing to paint you, and in this instance, Donald Trump, you're the bad person because you're not letting people be their authentic self. This is, I don't know if we're at the culmination of the modern self era as coined by Carl Truman, the age of autonomy, me, 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 you rule. This is what you are hearing. A scold to anybody who does not feel free to let their outsides be on the, or their insides be on the outsides. If you say anything that makes me feel bad, do anything, judge me, say that I'm wrong, then you're the evil person. I got to tell you, this is demonic. Working on something, I don't even know, honestly, if we'll post it. Working on something, kind of parodying Paul Harvey from 1965, If I Were the Devil, because I think it's time for a bit of an update. Most of what he said has been so prophetic, not like biblically prophetic, but he was spot on with his observations about how the devil was working in 1965. Well, he's still working, still using a lot of the same tools, but he's added a few new tools to his box. And one of them is language, the war on words, and the twisting and the turning and the assumption, I'm right. Her entire droning is predicated on, I'm right in all of my positions and you're wrong. Woo, that's wicked stuff.
For those who hold convictions of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President.
So the sermon was now aimed at one person.
Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now.
Okay, but scared of what, I ask?
There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families.
This is demonic. They feel scared because you disagree with them. They feel scared because you won't pass legislation that provides government funding for the mutilization of children. This war on words, this language twisting, it is so persuasive. It is so powerful. You can't help but ponder the source. How can they be so clever? I don't think they can be, but I know somebody who is.
Some who fear for their lives.
Okay, it's begging the question, what's the issue? What is right? And that's why I'm excited about the new wave of power that is presently residing in Washington, D.C. I am, but I got to tell you, no stroke of the pen is going to fix this. This is a war in the heavenly realms. This is a battle in the heavenly places, and leading the charge, Satan himself. Seriously, this is evil stuff.
And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals.
No argument there, except for the fact that if you're here illegally, that is a crime.
They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples.
And so are the people who have come here legally. The issue is justice, which should resonate with this woman.
I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here.
More than happy to welcome those who enter the nation legally. It's always good to shrink arguments. She's arguing for open borders, no doubt. All right, how's about open churches where people can actually just come into your gorgeous cathedral, which used to be Christian, and then they can occupy your seat. They can take your job. They can push you out of your place. I suspect, like those people who have been sent a lot of illegal aliens to their own backyard, they would suddenly realize, hey, wait a second, this needs to be done decently and in order. There's got to be a process to this. And to that I say, amen. But what is of note here is something that I got to tell you, we've got to start identifying the satanic semantic shenanigans. There, that was decent alliteration, my Southern Baptist friends. These are word games, and they are assuming that their position is right. And as excited as I am about all of these changes, until we invoke a higher standard, the arbiter, the judge who says, this is what is right, this is what is wrong, well, I think we can enjoy the next 2 to 4 years, but I fear it's not going to change Satan and his strategy to destroy everything good. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answer prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Important dates in Christian history. 863 AD. Cyril and Methodius, Greek brothers, evangelize the Serbs. Cyril develops the Cyrillic alphabet, which remains the basis for the Slavonic used in the liturgy of the Russian Church. Even the alphabet can be a reminder of God's work in the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I don't. Oh! always nitpick. This is Wretched Radio. I don't know if you caught the video that we posted last Friday on the YouTube machine. I believe it is one of the, if not the most important video we've ever posted on social media. Why? Because it reveals a doctrine that I think has been hidden from far too many believers and has been absent from virtually every gospel presentation I've ever heard. The doctrine of adoption was esteemed by the Reformers, by the Puritans, by really any good theologian, as it, not to suggest that justification isn't magnificent, but that justification serves the greater doctrine of adoption, because justification forgives our sins. Adoption brings us into God's family, where we experience towardness and withness with God. No longer enemies, now friends, seated at his table, courtesy of Jesus Christ. And it is my opinion and observation over the course of the last 25 years that evangelicals have basically lost the scent. We've forgotten what the gospel is. We assume that the hearer knows far more than they probably do. And we've been presenting the gospel in a less than glorious way. Furthermore, I'm not sure most gospel presentations contain enough truth for an individual to fully understand the gospel. So we made a video. It's titled, Why Are Most Christians Missing This? I encourage you, please go watch it and please share it. Most likely somebody you know needs to hear the amazing good news of the gospel that, like we used to say in evangelicalism, is about a relationship, because it is. It's a religion, but it's also a relationship with God. Number of people commented, however, that I was being a little bit nitpicky. And while I really did try to stave those critiques off by saying, I'm not critiquing Wesley Huff, who appeared on the Joe Rogan program to talk about Christianity for 3 hours. In fact, I praised his efforts. I said he did a magnificent job. My critique was not of Wesley Huff. It was of those who said, look, Joe Rogan heard the gospel. And my critique was Joe Rogan heard a lot about the gospel, but it wasn't a gospel presentation per se. And some people thought, well, they disagreed. Fair enough. But simply to demonstrate I'm not just, hopefully not at all, nitpicky, would like to share with you another clip from Wesley Huff. He's appearing on a podcast, the Julian Dory podcast. This is an individual, 31 years old, not a believer. And he asked a great question. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Christianity? And I thought Wes Huff did an outstanding job presenting the gospel, because all of the elements were there. Furthermore, he even added the coda that I suggested we make sure we put onto our gospel presentations. And that is, there's an end. The means is justification. The end is adoption. So please enjoy. Wesley, by the way, if you're an evangelist, and you should be, because all Christians are called to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within them, to make the most of every opportunity, this might be something that you can use when comparing Christianity to other systems.
I think Christianity is probably more simple and more complex than a lot of people realize.
Okay.
I think it's more simple in the sense that Scripture is clear on what it's meant to be clear on, that we are sinners, that we need a savior, that we cannot save ourselves.
Excellent. Good stuff. Now, could he open up the law to show him that? You bet. In fact, I encourage that. But these are the components that must be in a gospel presentation.
And that God himself steps out of eternity and into humanity, into depravity, in the second person of the Trinity, in Jesus, and takes the penalty for our wrongdoing, for the evil that exists here. We're very concerned with the evil out there, but there's a lot of evil in here. And Jesus takes that upon himself on the cross. Mm. And I think when I study world religions, what I find interesting is that all world religions amount to either an aspect of mercy or justice. So I would say if you look at something like a lot of the Eastern philosophies that have karma incorporated within them, it is wholly just, right? Buddhists are trying to break the cycle of samsara. Samsara is the cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth.
Okay.
So the purpose of Buddhism is to seek enlightenment in things like the Seven Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, in realizing that it's your attachment to desire in the physical world that is rooting you in that system. And that when you realize that you can release desire, then you can become one with the universe, right? So they're seeking to destroy the self in that sense. Hmm. But the system that operates on that in karma is just. The same thing in
terms. But before he gets on to the next world religion, the young man that he's talking to is not a believer young. So he's in the demo of kids who are hate God, apparently. Well, listen to his tone. I was reading the article just this morning, somebody observing, because so many high profile people are at least contemplating Christianity, it makes it easier for others to do likewise. This kid is being polite. And I think that he's actually like, learning stuff here. And that is instructive too. That is why we can't assume anything in a gospel presentation, Wesley Huff continues.
In terms of its iteration within Hinduism, it's just, you do get your just punishment. What you do in this life, either good or bad, reflects in the next life. Whereas I would look at Islam as one that is merciful in the sense that every chapter of the Quran, except for one, starts off with this phrase, Bismillah, God the most benevolent, the most merciful. However, I think when you study world religions, one thing you see is that the justice of karma is at the expense of mercy.
Excellent.
And the mercy of Islam is at the expense of justice.
Wait. Ponder that. He's going to explain it.
The justice of karma is at the expense of mercy.
So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So karma doesn't allow for mercy. You will always get what you deserve. Islam, the God of Islam forgives, but I would argue that he forgives arbitrarily in that his law is not accounted for. There is no justice for when the law is broken. He just forgives it. But what about the justice in that situation? What about the person who's been wronged?
I'm sorry, I can't help it, but I think I heard some Canadians sneaking in there when he was talking about some of these things.
But on Christianity, though, you have an all-forgiving God.
That's what I'm getting at. So I think this is one of the things that people don't often realize about Christianity is mercy and justice are perfectly measured in that when Christ takes the penalty that we deserve, the full wrath of God is put on Jesus on the cross. So it's not just the physical that Jesus experiences with the crucifixion, which is pretty terrible, but he actually experiences all of the sin that we commit on himself. Hmm. And in that sense, God's law is fulfilled in its justice. And because it's fulfilled, now, because Christ gets the punishment we deserve, now we get what we don't deserve in mercy. But God's law is not broken. He doesn't just forgive it, right? Because God is a holy God and he cannot just forgive at random, because forgiveness is costly. But forgiveness is not costly for the God of Islam. He can just do it. But if I, you know, knock over all these cameras and break them and you say, you know what? It's okay. You didn't mean to do it. There's still a cost. It's just not on me. It's on you, right? But you have been merciful to me. But that forgiveness is very costly to you. And so what we see in Christianity is that the cost of the punishment of sin is fulfilled. Christ takes that upon himself, knowing that we cannot do it. And then mercy is given out, and not just mercy, but grace. Hmm. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
This is excellent stuff. And I don't know how deep it is being received into the ears of the young man who's interviewing Wesley Huff, but this is outstanding apologetics. No, it's not. This isn't apologetics. This is an explanation of the uniqueness of Christianity, that it accounts for justice, but it also accounts for mercy. The other systems, they might do one, but they don't do both. And that is the uniqueness of Christianity. Now, what makes this little encounter, I thought, so extraordinary was what we were talking about in the video that I still encourage you, please go watch it and please share it with people, because it explains what Wesley Huff is about to talk about. And that is this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a peace treaty between you and God. where you will never be declared an enemy again. You will always be a friend of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And I believe in this clip, if I recall, he does talk about adoption, being brought into a relationship with God. Now, there's a pretty good chance that if you remember in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was kind of gack, you know, evangelical Christianity. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And I've never rejected that slogan. What I reject is, if there's any part of it that I would say isn't accurate, is that Christianity, of course, is a religion. But it is a relationship that is the centerpiece. And that centerpiece is the person and work of Jesus Christ, who makes sinners God's friends. Question, did you know that? Question, have you been sharing that? We'll continue with Wesley Huff next on Wretched Radio.